All right, Wednesday night co-stream with John Chapman on the eve of the NFL preseason 49er game number one. What are we going to see tomorrow night? Let's get to it. You got to hit the right buttons.
I was feeling it. You can't do that to me, Larry.
I know. Seriously, what happens? Damn. Take two. Damn it. Off and running on the Krug Show. And, of course, John Chapman. We're co-streaming tonight on both channels. Hope everybody's having a great one. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here. Niners-Titans go tomorrow night. Really eager to talk about that with John. We're brought to you by Novato Chevrolet as well, NovatoChevrolet.com. I'm driving a Traverse now. Thank you to Novato Chevrolet. Yes.
Watch out, ladies.
That's right. I'm driving the Traverse, and it's a big vehicle. I'll say that it's not one of those smaller vehicles. It's a good size vehicle. There's no question about that. And we should tell you the Krug Show is presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on player stats or choose game outcomes. Build your lineup. It's available in most states, including California. Prize Picks has a brand new offer. Sign up with code HMA, play $5 in a lineup, and get $150 in bonus lineups if your first lineup wins. That's right. Code HMA. Play $5 or more and get $150 in bonus lineups if your first lineup is victorious. And we'll do a lineup later on tonight. But let's just get right into it. The Niners and Titans go tomorrow night. Two teams going in dramatically different directions, you would think. 49ers are a team that feels like they should have already won a Super Bowl, and it hasn't happened, and they're trying to get that done. They're in year 10 of the regime. The Titans are coming off of a pair of 3-14 seasons. They have a GM in Mike Borgonzi who came in from Kansas City. A lot of people thought he was going to hire Matt Nagy. Instead, he hired Robert Saleh. And Saleh brought in Brian Daboll, who's got 26 years of NFL coaching experience. John Fossil's the special teams coordinator. Saleh brought in Gus Bradley to be the defensive coordinator. And year two of the Cam Ward era gets underway tomorrow night at Levi's. But we're going to talk Niners and the issues facing the Niners. We got five topics we're going to hit in an hour tonight before we call it a night. And let's start with left guard. Left guard is interesting. It's beginning of camp. It was Connor Colby. And people were talking up Connor Colby. Oh, Colt McKivitz, his play speed's noticeably faster. He's much better. Firster. Oh, he's dramatically improved. Connor Colby. Right about to the point where Matt Barrows is like, hey, the left guard race is going to Connor Colby, and it's not going to be all that close. He's going to win it in a landslide. Literally, I'm not saying it was a reaction to that article, but literally as the ink wasn't even dry in that article, they took and yanked Connor Colby out of the starting lineup, replaced him with Robert Jones. I asked Shanahan if it's a two-horse race between Jones and Colby, and he said no. He said, we're trying to get Carver Willis in there as well, and now you got Colby running some snaps at right guard. Now, one other thing to think about is that if you are going to play, if Colby loses the starting guard job, he's going to have to be the backup guard. If he's the backup guard, he's going to have to be able to play right guard and left guard. So I think maybe what we're seeing is them giving him reps at right guard just in case he doesn't make the starting lineup so he can still make the roster. So they have a versatile player so we can have some reps there. But John, what do you see at left guard? The other thing that I think is notable is that Chris Foerster told us weeks ago that there may not be one starting left guard, and it may be a rotation. It may be a platoon. I don't love the sound of that either, but give me your thoughts on left guard. So a lot of people think that the Niners starting left guard may not even be in this camp yet, that he may be on the free agent market. A lot of people talking Laken Tomlinson and Kevin Zeitler and names like that. What do you think at left guard? Who's going to be the left guard this year?
I think they're really upset. Nobody's walked away with this. They like you said, and you kind of set up, Larry, like Connor Colby was given the keys. They wanted him to show that he belonged there, and he did. And then pads came on, And then the cracks started to show day two, good practice overall. Day three gets a little rougher, and they're like, all right, we got to rotate. Like, this might not be the answer. And so then you bring in Robert Jones, who has way more experience in his career. He's had bigger injuries, whatever else. He hasn't run away with it either. So there is this musical chairs at this. And I thought it was interesting when Kyle Shanahan said, and we would like to get Carver Willis in there as well. Perfect question, by the way, Larry. He was the first one to bring up Carver Willis when talking about this. Kubiak didn't. Chris Forrester didn't. So, like, this is not a new question. And with this offseason being so weird, so many different coaches at the podium, like, it's kind of telling. Like, yeah, you want Carver Willis to be involved in this, but with the amount of time that he missed, and he even put a caveat on it himself where he said, like, you really wish he didn't miss all that time. He's taking backup left guard snaps now. And I think that this is going to be one of the things to watch. Don't pay so much attention to left guard play tomorrow against the Titans. Pay attention to just guard play in general, because everybody besides Dominic Pooney, you can plug and play him. You can play him at right guard. You play him at left guard. Who's going to show out? And this isn't the first time either that Forster has talked about rotating offensive linemen. Was it Compton and Jalen Moore who used to rotate for the right tackle spot? I think it was after McGlinchey got hurt.
Well, they didn't. It was a Brunskill and somebody.
Like, he's done it a few times at a couple different positions. Yeah. And it's like, hey, let's see who the best man's going to win. Let's see what's going to happen. I think that's going to kind of be what it was, because you look at Chris Forster, he'll rotate series. He'll give each guy two series and then put the other guy in there. And if somebody shows out at halftime, congratulations, you start the rest of the game. If you play well, you get the next game. Turn it into a meritocracy. Why not? They want the functional fluidity to have utility players on the inside of the offensive line. 49ers always do that. I don't think Carver Willis is ready. I think they want Carver Willis to be that guy, but I just think he's still too raw of a player to make that transition from left tackle to guard. He's taken center snaps. I think that's his eventual long-term placement. But they want somebody to win it. And they're just sitting there just like dangling the cheese, man. Who wants this damn job? To the point where now you have to question who's on the roster and perhaps who's not. As you said, is the answer coming? Is the call coming from inside the house, Larry? Yeah, can we get somebody to win this left guard spot? And I don't think it's going to be answered this week. I don't even think Connor Colby gets left guard snaps this week. I think he's been practicing almost exclusively at right guard this week. I think they flip it again next week or the following week. I don't think we're getting kind of the answer here, but perhaps we get shown the light why there's such an issue and why nobody's winning this left guard spot.
You know, it's interesting. There's lots of different ways to play your hand. It's like a hand of cards. It sounds like they really believe in Carver Willis. Now, Willis was a left tackle at Washington, and he's also really, really smart. So just the fact that he played left tackle, he had enough movement ability and athleticism to play left tackle, and he's really, really smart. Seems like on paper, if that's really all you knew about him, he seems like a really good prospect. He has had the concussion situation already. It might be in their best interest after practice the other day, I was walking off the field, Cam Inman was like, man, Robert Jones sure looked dominating. And I'm like, I don't know I don't think I saw him dominate, but he thinks like he's a big physical, guard that can open lane, run lanes. And Forster kind of said he's the best run blocking option. But I kind of feel like Willis, I'm still a Colby fan. I like Colby. And I would not be surprised if Willis got in there first. And then if there was an injury to Brendel, Colby got in there and it was Colby and Willis, in there. And they could be fixtures going forward. I could see it. I'm not one of those people that believe that Connor Colby can't do it. This guy had 50 starts at Iowa. I like his movements. He doesn't lunge. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten faster. I think he's well coached. I think he's a good prospect. I know he's gotten yanked here, but I don't know. It's like, there's a business side here too. Then they give some guaranteed dollars to Robert Jones. So it's like if Connor Colby just boat races him out of the chute and just takes the job, and he just isn't somebody maybe going to ask questions like, hey, why'd we spend this money on Robert Jones? I don't know. I have to go look at what they spent on Robert Jones, but it is possible that they just want to, you know, give Jones a little bit more of the look and, you know, give him a chance to, I mean, Shanahan in the answer basically said, hey, look, it's early in this deal and we got to see who plays well in the preseason. I mean, that's pretty much what he said. So I think all options are on the table. I think, you know, Willis is an option. Colby's an option. There's no doubt that Jones is an option. And I think trades, adding somebody from the outside, is also probably going to be an option. And some people believe that's the option that they're ultimately going to go with. So it's wide open. It's one of the real wide open races heading into this three-game preseason slate. So there's no question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the Fever linebacker, because the other interesting story here is that, you know, with Raheem Morris comes five-man fronts, and with five-man fronts come, you know, positions that, you know, a lot of people have never heard of. You know, hey, this guy's going to be our spinner. This guy's going to be the star linebacker. And there's different phrasing, the Fever linebacker. And it's really, we're talking about the strong side linebacker. And it's really talking about the ability to walk somebody up on the line of scrimmage from the linebacker and basically turn it into a five-man attacking front. And so they've got some guys in camp, Duggar, Quentin Bell, Titus Leo, that are really athletic and that they're really just rushers for the most part. Ogbo Okoronkwo, but they're listed as linebackers, but they're really rushers. And it's they could play linebacker, but they're really out there to hunt the quarterback in a five-man front. So Jaden Duggar, I think, is going to be one of the more interesting guys to watch. He's the youngest guy on the team, John. And yet we asked Warner about him. He loves him. KJ Wright loves him. He's getting run with the ones the other day. He's clearly impressing them.
He's the one guy when they drafted Jaden Duggar. I was just like, dude, put this guy at edge. Like, come on, man. Look at the metrics. Like, the off-ball tape's rough. You go to Louisiana, like, he only had 1 year as an off-ball Mike linebacker. He's going to play, you know, kind of with concrete feet, little slow to read, whatever else. But I'm just like, man, put this guy at edge. Well, at this, again, Fever, we used to call it the Panther backer whenever I coached, but like star, Panther, whatever, this hybrid, do-it-all type guy. Man, this is going to be fun to watch. Because is Nick Martin going to, you know, play? Shanahan said not a lot of starters are going to be out there tomorrow, but is Nick Martin the clear-cut starter? He's been with the ones pretty much exclusively. Jaden Duggar got some reps there. Shoot, there was one point when Fred Warner got kind of mixed up a little bit. Larry Wirth was out there, your dude. Like, there's a lot of guys that they could throw in this spot. Garrett Wallow's gotten play there. Obviously, Gifford's got, like, a lot of guys are getting snaps there. But at the top end, Nick Martin, what's that going to look like? Jaden Duggar, what's that going to look like? This is the new kind of spice that 49ers fans have not seen under the last three defensive coordinators. Probably, shoot, five. You want to go back to the first time Sala, D'Amico Ryans, Wilkes, Sorensen, back to Sala. Five defensive coordinators. You have not seen this. This is new. This is different. So, going from one of the most simplistic defensive personnel packaging schemes, the Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryans, kind of it's simple up front. Now it's much more complex up front. So that's going to be kind of fun to see. I wonder how much they're going to kind of show their hand, what that's going to look like. I'm not expecting a lot of stunts and a lot of, you know, fire zones and all that stuff, but I do want to see.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I want to see that dude walk up on the line of scrimmage and just see what it looks like. I think Nick Martin's going to win that job to start the season, but man, how are you not excited about Jaden Duggar? Like you talked about, the youngest player on the guy on the squad, dude's got potential coming out of his ears. Fred Warner's just like, when they asked Fred Warner about him, he said love three times in three sentences. Like, Fred Warner understands what they have in this kid. Can he put it together? And whenever they asked him and Romello Height, like, what's the one problem that you've had, or what have you been, what's been a struggle? Learning so many different spots. That's the one area where I'm just like, man, can they divulge all the information, go out and execute? I'm pumped about this position, man. And when the 49ers are out there on defense, I'm watching that nickelback. I don't think we're going to see Upton Stout out there, but I want to see the backup nickelbacker, and I want to see this number three linebacker, what that looks like.
Yeah. I hear you. And you know, it's funny. It's like, we're not the only ones that are curious what it's going to look like. I asked Chris Kocurek the other day. I'm like, Chris, you know, Duggar as a rusher, you know, what do you think? What's your evaluation? He was practicing with the D-line the other day. I said, what do you think? And he's like, man, he's got some bend. He's got some burst. And let's throw him out there and see what he's got. That's what he said. It's like, I mean, that, and that's, I think I think that's as honest as the day is long, man. He's got some bend. He's got some burst. And, you know, let's see, you know. It's like he's going to be way out there rushing the passer, and he's got a lot of length and a lot of speed, great motor, and it's tough to rush the passer in this league, especially as an undersized guy. But you know what? This guy's got 85-inch length and really, really good athleticism. And some of the film that I saw at Louisiana, I mean, some of his highlight reels, I mean, he's just shot out of a cannon.
It tackles like so well.
Yeah, I mean, just a rangy backer. There's some tall linebackers in the NFL, but there aren't that many tall linebackers that are true rangy linebackers. And this guy looks really rangy. So we'll see. I mean, that's an interesting spot for sure. I'm interested to see what Nick Martin looks like. I'm interested to see what Larry Worth III looks like. I kind of think they have something in Larry Worth III. He's very confident. He strikes people hard. He's obviously a special team guy. And he's got a lot to learn because he's a converted safety. But this guy converts speed to power, and I think he's going to fly around and make plays. I'm really eager to see what he looks like. All right.
He's the off-the-bus test. Like, yeah. You know, whatever you're getting, you got the way game. Like, who gets off the bus first? Larry Worth III and Jaden Duggar, they're in your top five. Like, you guys are getting off the bus first because they're physically intimidating. They're Madden-created characters. Can they make an impact tomorrow? That's what I want to see.
I would say on the Niners, if you said who would get off the bus first, I would probably go with, well, just on personality, you know, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. But on just look, I might go Keon White and Mikel Williams, or maybe Keon White, Oso Digizua. I mean, there's some... Osi Odigizua is a bad man. He was really mixing it up quite a bit with their O-line. Oso wasn't taking any S.
And you wanted him to kind of set the frame. Like, you're coming from an opposing team, automatic guaranteed starter, leader of the defense. Like, do you belong here? And so as soon as Dre Greenlaw shows up, there's fights every other play. Osa says, I'm about that business.
Like, how beautiful is that? Just the melding of the new guys. You know, Dre Greenlaw coming back, went here last year. Osa, first year here. Oh, yeah, he's about that business, man. I'm from the South. I remember the about it days.
Yeah, I mean, Osa is in his prime and has looked like a ton on the practice field. All right, wide receiver. Let's talk wide receiver. 49ers wide receiving core. Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Dejon Stribling. Ricky Pearsall out for the year. Christian Kirk yet to practice. Jacob Cowing hasn't done squat on the practice field. But DeMarcus Robinson is having an amazing camp. Jordan Watkins has made some plays. Leonard Hankerson told us that Will Pauling is like his toughest receiver. He hasn't missed a block this entire time. He had a very productive career at Notre Dame. I'm really looking forward to him in the preseason. And then there's Wesley Grimes, who's, you know, wearing number 18, NC State, 4.3 speed, big, strong, fast, and he looks very good on the practice field. So what do you think? Wide receiver, I can't imagine Evans is going to play. I don't imagine Debo's going to play much. What do you think of the wide receiver crew this year?
I think that this game, like, you're not going to get the big names, and Cowing ain't going to practice either because this injury is still there. But I think, like, three guys that can gain the most from this preseason game are Jordan Watkins, Wesley Grimes, and Will Pauling. Those are the three guys that have the most to gain or most to lose that are kind of, you know, in this bubble mentality. Maybe Jordan Watkins is already in, but those are the guys. Because you remember Jordan Watkins last year. He was a training camp freaking all-star, gets to the first preseason game, really, really good, got injured, we didn't see him, took him too long to get back, never could get back on the depth chart, but it was just like, dude, Jordan Watkins looked incredible in training camp in his one preseason game. So can he go back and show, look, he's about that business, go get it done? And I'm a Wesley Grimes guy. You and I have talked about Wesley Grimes probably too much. I, like, again, one of those off-the-bus wide receivers that just looks the part, 6'2", 200 pounds, like, 4'3 speed. You got to be kidding me. Can Will Pauling, Wesley Grimes do enough to vault themselves ahead of somebody like a Jacob Cowing, like a Christian Kirk, who are not out there, not practicing? If they're not out there, that means there is a spot available. The snaps are going to be there tomorrow. Can they go out and capitalize? Because, and again, you know, we haven't said this on today's show, Niners aren't playing their starters, but guess what? Robert Saleh said when asked who's playing in this preseason game, he said everybody's playing. If Wesley Grimes and Will Pauling can go put up some numbers against the Titans starters, why not? Why not? These young guys with high upside, even though they're undrafted free agents, understand these guys have major, major upsides with special teams promise, which is how you earn that back into the roster spot. Jordan Watkins, Wesley Grimes, Will Pauling. Those are the guys that I think I just have highlighted a lot to gain tomorrow night.
No doubt. No doubt. Listen to this. This is Hankerson. I asked Hankerson this question the other day about Grimes. We had a little back and forth here. Leonard Hankerson, former Hurricane wide receiver, now the Niners wide receiver coach.
Leonard, the Grimes, the rookie at NC State, I watch him play. It's hard to understand why he didn't get drafted. He's got 4.3 speed. He's got great size. He seems pretty tough. He's got good hands. What are you seeing so far? He looks pretty good on the practice field.
You were saying he got 4.3 speed?
Yeah.
Is that documented?
I don't know. I've read that he's got 4.3 speed.
Yeah, I give him crap about it all the time.
Where is that 4.3 speed?
He told us, you know, when we met with him on Zoom, you know, he told us we're going to run a 4.3, you know, 4.38.
Yeah.
So I think it was documented that he ran like a
4.35. Yeah.
Was it 4.35?
4.35.
It said 4.5 something. So, okay, I got to tell him that came up.
Yeah.
You know, but he's been doing a great job. You know, back in OTAs again with Grimes, you know, like every rookie, he's swimming.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not playing to that 4.35 ability. You know, you come in thinking, you're trying to get the offense, you know, you're trying to figure out who I'm blocking, who I'm going to, what route they have. You know, so it's hard to focus on really the technique, you know, what it takes to, you know, get open. You know, and from that point up until now, he's doing a phenomenal job, you know, just being out there, knowing how to line up. He's another guy that's been moving around from position to position, you know, and he has been able to display his speed on tape, you know, and even just coming down with the catches. He's another guy that has strong, that has great hands. You know, he dropped two passes, one in one-on-ones the other day, and then I think the other one was brought from air. You know, and it was surprising because he was wide open. You know, and usually you can tell when guys got great hands, they step back to it, they make the play, it's natural. You know, and he's been doing awesome.
So there you go. A little bit of sorry for the blurriness there, but a little bit of Leonard Hankerson. The thing about him, John, about Grimes, is the Niners thought enough of this guy. They brought him in for a 30 visit before the draft. So they liked him. You know what I mean? They were all over him before the draft. He's lined up outside, and he's just physically gifted. He's big and fast, and he looks good in the uniform, and he absolutely can play. I mean, he makes plays. He made a play down the field, and you're just looking at him going, wow, this guy's got – this is what an NFL wide receiver is supposed to look like. I mean, he really does look the part of an NFL wide receiver. So we'll see. I mean, he's got to do it in the preseason. He's got to make a name for himself in the preseason. But, yeah, I agree with you. Watkins, Pauling, and Grimes. Sounds like a law firm. Yeah, who represents? Yeah, I'm represented by Watkins, Pauling, and Grimes. Yes, my attorneys are in the lobby. That's what it sounds like, but he is a talented receiver for sure. Give me one, you know, who are you most excited about? Give me somebody that you're most excited about with preseason about to get rolling. Is there somebody on this team that you're fired up about?
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see a lot of top end guys. So then I start to look at, you know, okay, there's a lot of redshirt players, which we'll talk about maybe in a little bit later. But I'm like, dude, Grayson Halton, this is somebody that could be an impact player, rookie, obviously, crazy high ceiling. We are going to get to see him tomorrow. He is going to be out there on the field. So, like, when in doubt, that is going to be a big deal. I expect him to get the start. We'll see what that looks like. But I also think they should probably play C.J. West and Alfred Collins as well, you know, sophomore players. Coming off injuries, being banged up a little bit through training camp, you want them to get fully ready for game one. That defensive tackle, very young room outside of Oso Odighizuwa, you've got to get some reps there because all these guys have missed time in training camp this year. Grayson Halton is the one guy with that ceiling in the pass rush game that's just like, what if he hits? What happens if he is a guy? A lot of 49ers fans' favorite player, you know, in this draft, he was the one value pick. You had all the uproar and everything about consensus big boards and reaches. Grayson Halton was the one guy that was kind of a consensus third-round pick that you got in the fourth round. Can that value pick pay dividends early on? We're going to find out tomorrow. Can he go out there and get some pressure and impact the quarterback? Gosh, man, that would be so huge and such an added benefit to this 49ers defense that struggled so bad with pass rush last year. Well, you're bringing in a pass rush defensive tackle specialist, Grayson Halton. How many snaps is he going to get? Will they be impactful? Can he prove that he is where he belongs?
Yeah, I mean, the Niners had 20 freaking sacks last year. 20, okay? That's just a pathetically low number. So yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I mean, I could be like, you took my guy, you know, Grayson Halton, but Grayson Halton is such a dominating interior rusher. He's so quick and he's emotional. He celebrates his wins and he wins. And in the NFL, you know, nobody's worried about Grayson Halton. You know what I mean? So when he played at Oklahoma, they were worried about Grayson Halton. Now he played on a really good defense. You know, the defensive end was a great player as well. I mean, they had some really good players on that defense, but this guy was a primary, you know, you had to account for him. On this Niner line, they're going to be worried about everybody but him. It's going to be, oh, we got to worry about Osa. Oh, we got to worry about Bosa. Oh, we got to worry about Romello. Oh, nobody's going to be worried about Grayson Halton. So he's going to get some one-on-ones and he's going to win those one-on-ones. So I love that one. Two other names to that same end. The guy who, yeah, he's not a rookie, but man, he looked awesome this week, is Ogbo Okoronkwo. You know, and Ogbo, I talked to Chris Kasarik about him, and he's like, he really liked his year in Houston where he played in a four-man front. And the guy just, Chris is like, he just has an ability to hit that perfect point on the blocker. He understands leverage really, really well. And he hits these leverage points and gets these old linemen on roller skates and just waltzes them into the quarterback. The power that Ogbo Okoronkwo brings at 255 is awesome. He really does have a knack for rushing the passer. It's a pass rush skill set that he brings to the table. And he's, you know, last year he tore the triceps, but he had a couple of decent years in Cleveland and had a really good year in Houston. I still think his best year, and Chris said he loved him coming out of OU, loved him in the early days of the Rams. Now you got him. Raheem loves him. Chris loves him. He's shown, I mean, granted, it's, you know, Isaac Alarcon and Enrique Cruz that he's making look horrible, but this guy's got a true knack. So I'm looking for him. And then Bryson Eason and James Thompson, but mostly Eason from the standpoint of pass rusher. This guy's got a really, really thick lower body, but is fast. I mean, you just don't see guys that carry that much weight in their legs be fast. And yet Bryson Eason is fast, and he's a converted linebacker. And he's, you know, Chris described it in the interview that I did with him earlier this week, where he's like, you know, he's got so much power in his get off that he can just kind of come out of his stance, John, and with just the strong arm, he can kind of get some knockback and start pushing. And then the O linemen kind of settle into him and they realize, man, he's got a lot of power and he can push. But then he's got real speed. If he can separate, he can also then get off that block and sack the quarterback. He's not just a power rusher. He's got power, the initial power, but he's got speed moves off of that. So, I mean, Eason, Halton, James Thompson, year two of Alfred Collins, year two of CJ West, arrows pointing up, year two in the system for Keon White, Oso Digizua in his prime. You know, Bose obviously will not play, but you added Romello and Okoronkwo, the veteran. I think their defense is going to be better than people think. I think Raheem is going to, the impact that Raheem's going to make on the secondary, but also, you know, all the additions they have up front. I just think we'll see once the injuries start happening how thin things get. But I think there's good talent on this defense on all three levels. I think the defense is going to be surprisingly good.
I am curious to see. I like all the five-man front, fever back, or whatever else. I just want Upton Stout to stay on the field. That's my biggest concern. So, like, how often, which we're not going to see him tomorrow, but I do think that the schematic fundamentals with how you call a game and you personnel package your defense against offensive personnel groups are going to be a little bit telling. How often are you in nickel? Are you in the 4-3? Are you in the 5-2, 4-3 over? All that kind of different stuff. I want to see, but I'm excited about this. I'm excited for the 49ers to put out there a defense that is just not so transparent and easy to read out of the huddle. Like, that was the thing that was so frustrating. And so with Raheem Morris running a much more complex front seven, that is going to be fun to have quarterbacks kind of step back and look and try to figure out what's going on a little bit more. That would be fun to see. So it's going to be kind of fun tomorrow to see exactly how much Raheem Morris unveils and shows, or does he just stay vanilla? These are things that are going to be new because we haven't had this type of defensive coordinator for the 49ers in 10 seasons.
Another guy that I'm really kind of excited about because Purdy's excited about him is DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, the Purdy to DeMarcus Robinson connection this summer has been amazing. Purdy looks like he's about to play his best football, and I think Robinson can step in for Pearsall at that Z position and do his thing. He was the best Niner receiver in the playoffs. He's been awesome this summer. I mean, absolutely fantastic. And Purdy knows has a confidence in where he's going to be and is throwing him the ball. And these guys getting separation down the field in a very kind of creative way. So DeMarcus Robinson, and he's like one of those guys that I don't even know that I thought he was going to make the team in the offseason. But now, I mean, he really, really looks good. What's your perspective on Robinson before we hit we'll hit our prize picks lineup, and then I got a couple more things we want to get to. what do you think of Robinson? Because he looks so good against the Eagles. And I asked Purdy about him, and he's like, hey, you know, the guy's got length in the red zone. You know where he's going to be. You know, he's really good on these rub route type situations. And he just said, hey, this is a guy that, you know, I feel very comfortable going to.
He was the best. He was the number one wide receiver for the 49ers in the playoffs whenever they beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. This dude just tortured Quinyon Mitchell, who all pro corner. He's incredible. But that's the thing. You get these old hats at the wide receiver position, which he's going to be 32 years old this year. But it doesn't matter because he understands the craftiness to get open, the route running. And this is somebody with 28 touchdowns in his career. He's a special, like, I wish he was always out there in the red zone. Like, this is where you should use him. I am a huge D-Rob fan just because I like veterans that can play multiple positions. He can play all three wide receiver spots. And I remember whenever the early, you know, training camp was going on and people were putting out there, like, I think these wide receivers will make it, not these other ones. And DeMarcus Robinson was again showing love. I was very upset. I was like, dude, I think that this is wrong. DeMarcus Robinson was the most consistent wide receiver in camp last year, but that didn't translate to the season because he got suspended for a month. And so he wasn't out there with the team practicing or at the games for the first month, and it took him forever to catch back up to speed. But you look at this camp, he's consistent, and he's consistent with all four quarterbacks, whether it's Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, the Maple Missile, Adrian Martinez. It doesn't matter. He's out there making plays. DeMarcus Robinson is making this roster. The only way he will not is if it's that gentleman's handshake agreement with the vested vet that doesn't have to go through waivers, where they doesn't make the 53, and then Kyle Shanahan bumps him some extra money to come back on the practice squad and gets, like, he's going to be out there for the 49ers week one. However you slice it, I'm keeping him over Christian Kirk. I'm keeping him over Jordan Watkins. I'm keeping him over Jacob Cowing. I think that he is safe. He has just played too consistently well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Watkins, but I agree with you. DeMarcus Robinson is doing it right now. If you cut DeMarcus Robinson and then you wind up needing a veteran receiver later in the year, you're sitting there feeling like an idiot. Because you had that veteran receiver in camp with you, and you cut him. So I think they'll find a way. I'd love to see a way for both those guys to make the roster. We'll see the injury factor and how things shake out after three games. All right, it is time for our Prize Picks lineup. We'll move ourselves to the corner. We'll share the screen, and we've already done our Prize Picks lineup. We'll put it up there. We'll share the screen, and then we'll just tell you guys, of course, that the Krug Show is brought to you by Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is a brand new offer. They're America's number one sports picks app. It's incredibly easy to use. Just choose more or less in a few player stats, lock in your lineup, and you're ready to go. If you'd rather pick teams instead, now you can do that as well. You can pick the winner, the spread, or the total of your favorite games and fights. Here's their brand new offer. New users play their first $5 lineup, and if you win it, you get $150 in bonus lineups. Just download Prize Picks app. Use code HMA when you sign up. Use that code HMA to receive $150 in bonus lineups if your first lineup of $5 or more is victorious. So it's available in most states: California, Texas, Florida. Lock in that first lineup. Go get the dub. Prize Picks. Once again, code HMA. Download the app. Do it now. All right, and we will share with you our lineup. And this is it. This is our Prize Picks lineup. So we need a three-pick power play, $5 wagered. We're going Puka Nacua. These are season totals. With Puka, you know, the news from Schefter that Puka may miss the beginning of the year, under 8 receiving touchdowns. That seemed like an easy one. Ashton Jeanty, over 974.5 rush yards. And I'm going Bijan Robinson with a new contract to go for at least 1,200 yards this year. It's at 1149.5 if he goes over. All three go down. We go 3 for 3. Our $5 pays us 30. Thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We'll put ourselves back over here. And we appreciate, oh, you know what? We did our thing, but we never put up our Prize Picks. We put up our lineup here. Hold on one second.
We got to get the cool graphic, Larry. We
got to get the cool graphic.
We can't short the people.
Yeah, we can't short the people. We can't short Prize Picks, damn it. Mr. Prize will be at my door complaining, and I don't want Mr. Prize coming over here.
He can get mean.
He's nasty. And then we'll share the screen down here.
And I will say this, Puka has only eclipsed 8 touchdowns once in his career.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, there's other guys there. So I kind of think the Rams are a little bit of fool's gold, but we'll see. Maybe that's wishful thinking. But there you go. Thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And now we will move ourselves back in there and move that back. And look at that. We're back. Couple things before we move on, and that is, in addition to Prize Picks, thank you to Novato Chevrolet for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We really love Novato Chevrolet. And also, we're promoting an event coming up that we want to tell you about, West Coast Diesel's 10th annual event. It's Saturday, September 12th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chris Beck Arena at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, 1350 Bennett Valley Road up in Santa Rosa. If you're saying, well, what exactly is this? It's the biggest diesel truck celebration in all of Sonoma County, featuring tractor pulls, show and shines, dirt drags, dyno, loudest exhaust competitions, and so much more. Family-friendly atmosphere, $30 general admission, kids 5 and under are free. Tickets are available at Airway Drive and Sebastopol Road, both of those West Coast Diesel locations, or you can purchase at the gate on the event, the date of the event, which is September 12th. If you want more information, the phone number is 707-595-3026, or you can go to the website, westcoastdiesels.com/pages/events. And we're really proud to be sponsoring, or have them sponsoring the Krug Show and being promoting their 10th annual event. Also, thank you to NovatoChevrolet.com. I was there today. I'm driving a Novato Chevrolet Traverse. Adam Rogers is the sales guy to see. NovatoChevrolet.com on the web. Novato Chevrolet, the only place I'll buy a Chevrolet. And also, thank you to Sharp Corner, sports cards and collectibles. My good friend Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264. Check him out on Instagram. Sharp Corners 831 on the gram. Thanks to all of our sponsors. The link's in the description for all of our sponsors. All right. How many teams, I wanted to ask you this question. How many teams, John, do you think, as we sit here in mid-August with the preseason about to get underway, how many teams realistically can win the Super Bowl at SoFi? And somebody asked me this question the other day, and I thought, you know what? Well, first of all, you got to have some kind of criterion. You could go just on feel, but to me, I got to have a criterion. So I really believe to win the Super Bowl, you got to have a great head coach. You got to have a smart head coach. You got to have a quarterback, and you got to have talent. Maybe you can get away with having two of the three. You know, maybe you could have an ordinary quarterback if you had awesome talent and a great head coach. You know, maybe you could get by without a great head coach, but you had awesome talent and an incredible quarterback. I kind of feel like Buffalo might be in that situation this year. Can Buffalo, with really good talent, and Josh Allen with a rookie head coach, win the Super Bowl? So these are the team. Well, first of all, I'll throw it to you. How many teams do you think, or do you want me to tell you who I have? But either way, how many teams are legit Super Bowl contenders this year?
I think there's about 10. If you're talking AFC, NFC combined, I think there's about 10. It's a very top-heavy league this year. Sadly, three of those 10 are in the NFC West. I put my number at 10. As you were saying that, I started going through the teams, just kind of counting off the top of my head. I came up with 10.
Okay, so here is what I've got for my 10. Okay, and I'm struggling with a couple.
You said 10 as well?
Well, I've got probably 11.
Okay.
Okay, so this is who I have. Seattle, defending champions, no doubt. They got a great head coach, they got great talent, and their quarterback's good enough. The Rams, great head coach, great quarterback, great starting talent. I got the Chargers.
I did not have the Chargers.
Jim Harbaugh, a lot of talent. Herbert, it's a big-time talent at quarterback. There's, you know, if you told me the Chargers were going to do what the Chargers always do, I wouldn't be shocked, but I got the Chargers. I got the Niners. I got Shanahan. I got Purdy, and I got a lot of veteran talent. It's going to take the right kind of jockey ride by Shanahan, and has gotten off to a little bit of a rough start, but I like the Niners. They're in there. I got New England in there. Despite the struggles of Vrabel, I think he's a very good coach, and Drake May is a really good quarterback, and Elliott Wolf's a fantastic GM. They've had a really good offseason. They've added a lot more talent to that roster. They continue to add talent because they had salary cap room. They had picks. I got Cincinnati. They improved their defense. They got Joe Burrow. I'm not a big fan of the quarterback, but I like the talent and I like Burrow.
I did not have Cincinnati.
Okay. I have Buffalo. You know, once again, 2 out of 3. I like the talent. I like Josh Allen. I don't like the head coach. Tampa Bay is on my list. They got a quarterback I really like. They got a lot of talent, and I kind of like their head coach. Okay, so those teams for sure. And then I'm debating, I got Denver in there as well because I really like their talent. So then I got 4 teams that I'm not really sure about that are in that. I just don't know. Okay, and that would be Kansas City. Obviously, they got the head coach and the quarterback, but the quarterback's hurt and he's kind of older. He's been through a lot. Reed's kind of older. The talent, I don't like the Chiefs' talent. I think the Chiefs' talent is eroded.
Yeah, not at all.
Don't like the talent. Then there's Baltimore, and I like Lamar, and I think their talent's pretty good. But, you know, for rookie head coach, I don't know. That Jesse Minter worries me. He's a very young coach. I like old. To me, old coaches know a lot. Young coaches, it's a risk. It takes time. So I'm not sure. Then there's Pittsburgh. I love them on the line of scrimmage, and I think they've got some sleeper pickups, Jeremy Bernard, Rico Dowdle. But, no, Rodgers, another, it's just a lot of stability there, a lot of good talent there. But Rodgers is older. I don't know about the head coach. And then there's Green Bay. Is Green Bay on this list? They were kind of disappointing last year. I feel like Love and the head coach don't get along. So that kind of makes me kind of worried about them. But I would probably throw them in there. So Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Denver, Cincinnati, New England, 49ers, Chargers, Rams, Seahawks. So I said 10, and I'm going to throw an 11th in there. I got to give the Detroit Lions a little bit.
Ooh.
Why? Because I really believe in Brad Holmes. I think he's a very good GM. And I do think Jared Goff is a good quarterback. I don't believe in Dan Campbell. A lot of people believe think Dan Campbell's like the cat's meow. I am with you on that take, by the way. So I have them in there. They're my 11th team. I don't have the Bears in because I don't believe in Caleb. I don't have Houston in because I don't believe in Stroud. I don't have Washington in because even though I believe in Daniels, I don't believe in their talent. I think their offensive line's weak. And the bad combination of no Laremy Tunsil, bad offensive line, and a quarterback that gets hurt, that I've got them on the line through them. I don't like Dallas because of Jerry Jones. And I don't like New York Giants because of Jackson Dart. So that's kind of where I'm at. Chiefs, I think talent have eroded. Pittsburgh, the same. Baltimore, even though they've been a pass power, I don't believe in Lamar in the playoffs, and I think their talent is good but not great. Green Bay definitely should be in there. That's where I'm at. So I got about 10 or 11 contenders, and the Niners are one of them.
I'm higher on the Bears than you are. I love Ben Johnson, even though he cost them in the playoffs. I am out on Detroit. One of my kind of hot takes is that they might not even make the playoffs. They've lost so many defensive starters already. But I do like Goff. I do like the offense. I do think that they have a lot of talent. But probably my weirdest one, and I hate this team more than any team in the NFL, I love Dallas's roster. I love Dak Prescott as a regular season quarterback. Can he overcome that? I doubt it, but that roster, like in that division, the Cowboys should be in the conversation, but just can you take Dak Prescott seriously in the playoffs? I don't think that you can, but man, that roster's not bad. It's a pretty solid roster.
Okay.
But I'm not putting them in there. I'm just saying. I mean, I hate to bring them up.
Dallas to me is just a losing organization. I mean, I think they do have a really solid defense, though. And I saw Rashawn Gary said that he thinks the sky's the limit for their D. I mean, it's Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams and Ogbonnia, who's a pretty big body. those are their down three. Then they've got Rashawn Gary and Ezeraku off the edges, and that's really good. And then you got DeMarvian Overshown and D. Winters inside. You also have Jayshon Barham from Michigan. I really like him, and Malachi Lawrence. So they do have a lot of edge, and they do, they, you know, they're I think they're going to be one of those bully teams, like they always are. I think if you run on them and force them to defend the run, you can gut them. But if you fall behind, they're going to turn 10-0. They're going to turn a 10-point lead into 21, better than most teams, because they just put, I mean, they added Kobe Durant, Caleb Downs to the secondary, and they've got a lot of pass rush up front. So, but I, you know, once again, I don't know if I believe in Dallas. I don't know if I believe in Dak looks to me like jacked, like really jacked, like bad football weight jacked. Have you seen Dak at all this year?
Yeah, he's been working out, man. He's trying to get on the cover of those magazines. Good for him.
If I said to you, give me, I'm not saying pick your Super Bowl because it's preseason, it's early, but give me a team that you could see in the Super Bowl.
The problem is the AFC, because it's such a gauntlet. It's real easy just to say the NFC West versus one of those teams. Man, Denver doesn't have to do much. And, dude, I think the Broncos, I could see the Broncos versus the NFC team very easily, NFC West team. That just seems to be kind of the – I could see it, man.
That's a good one.
That roster is so good.
I like Tampa. I like Tampa. I really think that it could be Niners Bucks in the NFC Championship game in Tampa. I mean, look what Tampa's got at receiver. They've got Emeka Egbuka. How great was his rookie year? And then he looks like a JSN clone. And then you've got Godwin, and you know they added Ted Hurst in the draft, and you got Tez and Jalen McMillan. I mean, they got receivers, and they got good tight ends too. Cade Otton, Payne Durham. I like Bauer Sharp. They just added from LSU. They got a good quarterback who's having a supposedly just carved up the opposition in the joint practices. They got backs. You got Buck Irving. You got Kenneth Gainwell, Sean Tucker. Kind of like their backs. Really good line, right? Tristan Wirfs, Graham very Martin, Gadecki, Cody Mauch. I mean, that's a very, very good line. And then on defense, you know, I mean, it's a 3-4 with Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey, A'shaun Robinson, Demonte Capehart. They got some interesting three guys up front, but then they added Reuben Bain, Josiah Trotter, and Keontae Scott. I mean, those guys are awesome. I think those are three of the best players in the entire draft. So I think Bain and Trotter and Keontae Scott, if they play to their talent level, that's going to help a defense that has, you know, Jacob Parrish, good young football player.
Benjamin that was Morrison. One of my favorite players last year. Yeah, they draft like we want to draft
players. Right. Antoine Winfield Jr., damn good football player. I mean, Yaya Diaby, he's a really good football player. I mean, they draft the way. I mean, Jason Licht might be kind of corny, and he wears his jeans and his sweatshirts, and he doesn't really look like a football guy. And dude can draft, can absolutely draft. And, you know, it's like he turns draft day into like casual day. Have you seen their draft room? It's everybody's real casual, but he just picks winners. The guy understands how to handle the draft. All right, let's do this. Let's hit our supers. And then I got one big question to ask you before we get out. Here we go. Here's our supers for today. And thank you to everybody who's participating here. We got this one. Trey Hall. JC, damn, you look good. Can't wait to see you in Seattle. P.S. Let me cop a rush flag. It needs to go in my fan cave.
Oh, you're the man, Trey. Appreciate you, man. Can't wait to be with you in Seattle. You going to any 49ers road games, come party with us, 49ersrushroadtrip.com.
Well, in fact, we don't have to just do that. I mean, we can do more. We can do more than just say, hey, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. I mean, we can do more than that. Look at this.
Also, I got to say this too. We are adding a home game that we're going to try out. We're going to be tailgating for the season opener at home against Miami. So if you're going to Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, We're going to be in Dallas, Seattle, and we're even adding Los Angeles for the Thursday night game. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. So go get your tickets, all-inclusive premium tailgates. We throw parties the night before the games. You name it, it is up. Tickets are up now, as cheap as they will be. Kids are free to every single event. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Seriously, John's the best. And for everybody who's going to Melbourne during his trip from September 5th through the 13th, John is giving you a baby koala that you can adopt and bring home with you.
We are going to see the koalas. That is part of the itinerary. But yeah, we are. Hell yeah, man. We're going to all the way down there.
Do not
touch them. You can't touch them. They have chlamydia, turns out, really? After some research. True story. Not allowed to touch koalas. Don't do it.
Yeah, what sorority? Oh.
You are wearing a Texas A&M shirt. That's all I will say.
Don't. I never thought if you said, koala bear, chlamydia. Hey. I didn't have that on the bingo card for the show.
I don't make the rules, man. They have a good time on the weekends.
Man, those they do have kind of a little bit of a smile to them. They kind of look like an old man, with lots of hair over the ears. They look like an old man, but they're smiling a little bit. Now we know why. All right, we got a couple more here. We got this one from 404. He says 10 joules equals press F. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And we've got this one from
Leo Chris 6354.
10 joules equals hiding. Okay.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate that. We got Rick, the Rush Crew. Just wanted to say hi to my boy, Chap. See you in Melbourne. They don't call it Melbourne, by the way. Melbourne, I was told. Michael says, hoping Osa's work ethic rubs off on Mikel and Collins.
Collins saying how he's made an emphasis on eating, and he's a big old boy, but he's got some bad weight on him.
One of the best conversations we had was with Kasarik last week, and one of the things he said that Collins showed up every day at the facility and worked really, really hard on his lower body, and he's excited for what Collins is going to bring this year. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing he said about Grayson Halton, he said he just is this guy who just loves football. He said, that's really awesome because that means the guy's going to work and get better and better and better because he just loves it. And then he was talking about James Thompson. He said the strength of Thompson is that he gets his hands inside on your chest plate, and then he's got such strength that he can just bull rush even the strongest of players. And it's shown itself in the one-on-ones. And then he had great things to say about Eason's ability to kind of collapse the pocket with power and then get off of blocks and get to the quarterback in space at 320, 6'2", 320. So, or 6'4", 320. So good things. I mean, really good things there. And Osa looks like he could be maybe the addition of the year. All right, let's finish with the last question here, which is this. When the Niners, or anytime you get together in a situation like this where you're got the joint practices, you get an up-close look at their guys. And before we hit this, let me just mention, Niners signed Eli Apple. They also signed Zamir White today. So we're going to see a lot of Patrick Taylor, Sincere McCormick, Khalil Herbert, and Zamir White. Corliss Waitman has beaten out Boommeester, John, for the punter job. And Waitman did punt quite a bit better than Boommeester in the joint practice, just for whatever that's worth. And then, as I mentioned, Eli Apple signed. Xavier Thomas, a defensive lineman, also signed. He played with the Cardinals. Zamir White signed. And then Junior Bergen, who was having a very good camp, waived. And Jack Boommeester waived. So do you have a quick thought on that before we... Those were some of the big moves of the week.
Yeah, the one thing about Corliss Waitman that stood out, the punter that won, hang time was his specialty. And so he got so much more height than Boommeester. Boommeester was much more of an angle, kind of coffin's corner type guy. So going just with, setting up, helping your guys not get those big returns, that seemed to be the thing there. And, with Junior Bergen, I kept emphasizing slow and small is a rough combination. Good hands, and he made a lot of plays, but it was always level 10 degree of difficulty on every single play he made. I think guys like Will Paul and Wesley Grimes made that an affordable wave at this period. And like, I don't want to wish ill will on anybody, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets picked up by another team, even though everybody's at 91 players right now. So it might be the end of it for him. I wish him nothing but the best in the world. But like, I was getting a lot of Junior Bergen comments, and I was just like, guys, I really don't see it long term. Yes, he's shorthanded, but every play was just so hard.
Also waived injured today, KJ Henry. I probably should throw that in.
He got injured in the joint practices.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, life in the NFL, man. You know, he looked good, too. And then, you know, you get hurt. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, you're hurt, gone. Okay, two last thoughts here. John Harbaugh and the New York Giants worked out Terrion Arnold today. Harbaugh was asked about it. He said, we want to be aggressive in every way, whatever we can do. Find anything out we can find out about any situation or player that can help us be better. John Schneider and the Seahawks also looked at Terrion Arnold. He was great at Alabama. He was a first-round draft choice. He's been accused of some pretty heinous crimes. Obviously, Seattle worked him out. We saw it on Hard Knocks. What do you think? Should Detroit cut him? He kind of got grabby if you looked at his film his rookie year. But he is a first-round pick, and he was considered to be a top-tier corner coming out. It's a tough position to find guys. It's like, is this, you know, Seattle will take shots on guys. It seems like the Niners won't. Should the Niners loosen their stance on some of the we won't take any of the league's bad boys to try to get the best talent in the game for cheap? I mean, that's what John Schneider's thinking here. He's thinking, can I get a first-round pick with size to play the corner and get him for cheap and maybe get him in our, in Seattle system. And he becomes this awesome player. Should the Niners show interest in Terrion Arnold? What do you think?
I would say no. One, I'm with Fred Warner in saying this is the best defensive back group that has taken place for the 49ers since they've been there. So it's not a major need position. The bad boys I like are Jack Jones guys that had a troubled past, have overcome that, have a year or two of good track record. That is the type of guy that I'm okay with. Not somebody that's organizing an alleged kidnapping, whatever conspiracy thing through group text. That is somebody that does not scream to me all about football at this point. That is just my personal take. This is the post Reuben Foster Shanahan program, where if you don't love football, this is not the place for you. And allow Terrion Arnold to go clear his name, allow him to reestablish at some of these lesser franchises. And then after he does that, then perhaps come back. That's my personal take. Niners are not in dire straits. You should not be grasping at straws for guys like this personally.
Okay, fair enough. Let's finish with this. Once again, I was going to was going down this road a minute ago, but we'll finish with it. Niners and Titans both trained together. I saw Mike Borgonzi and John Lynch huddled together talking players. Supposedly part of the deal was that Shanahan was going to give Saleh notes on his team, and Saleh was going to give Shanahan independent notes and thoughts on what he thought about the Niners. They play in different conferences. They're in different modes. Niners are trying to go for the Super Bowl. This is year 10 of the regime. That's year one of the regime of Borgonzi and Saleh. And they're trying to put together and build a roster. So if these teams were going to hook up on a trade, who would you want on this Titans roster? Don't say Jeffrey Simmons, because you're not getting Jeffrey Simmons. You're not going to get their best player. But who do you think is a player that it would make sense that the Niners would trade for from the Titans?
Yeah, I think you got to start at guard. Which the Titans consensus ranks just came out. They had the second worst overall offensive line rankings consensus across all, you know, major industries. But man, you look at the guard, they've got Drew Moss, who the 49ers let go of. Like, that is huge. You talk about Jackson Slater, Garrett Dillinger. There's a couple guys there that back into the roster guys, like swap something for a seventh, you know, those types of trades that I see the 49ers do. If somebody in the guard room does not come out and solidify that. Now, do those three guys make you want to get rid of a Connor Colby or a Robert Jones or even a Carver Willis or a Brett Toth? that's kind of the problem whenever I'm looking at the 49ers roster. Where is there room for somebody to go be out there? Young guys like Oluwafemi Oladejo, who I think they're probably pretty high on out of UCLA. He hasn't been able to crack their lineup. He hasn't been able to crack their top two-man rotation. Edge rusher, pass rusher. He was one of my rush crush players. I loved him. Something along those lines. But, man, right now it's hard. And outside of injuries, it's kind of tough to be able to say, yeah, this is a possibility. Who do you got, Larry?
Well, I mean, I think you centered on some good thoughts there. One, you know, if the 49ers, as you say, you know, if they don't love Robert Jones, if Connor Colby, Carver Willis, if they're not loving some of those guys, you know, the Titans definitely have some interior offensive linemen. Fernando Carmona was a fifth-round pick at Arkansas. They really like him, supposedly. They like Pat Coogan from Indiana. I think Pat Coogan is a culture player. And watching him, you know, hold up, I know he doesn't have the best body and there's, you know, better athletes and stronger guys. But this guy's got great, he's a leader, and he's tough. And if somehow they're trying to squeeze him through waivers, I'd be all over Pat Coogan, all over Pat Coogan. I mean, they have the Schlotman, who they brought in from the Giants. He's going to play center. As you said, they drafted Jackson Slater. They drafted Fernando Carmona. Coogan was a sixth-round pick. Those guys were fifth-round picks. So we'll see. I think they're going to try to keep Coogan and Carmona. But you're right, Jackson Slater, Dellinger, Drew Moss, all interesting. So, yeah, the Niners ought to hawk the guard, the interior offensive line room and take a look at it. I think running back, you know, you're only going to keep so many backs, and the Niners are seemingly like looking for backs every day. Michael Carter is a really good back. And he was with
Brant Boyer and for the Jets too. So he knows about him.
Yeah. And this guy is a high character guy. Really high character. He's a small bodied guy. But he is a high character football player. Loved this guy coming out. He played at North Carolina, and he's tough. He's only 27, and you know, he's played in Arizona, so he's played in the division, but he doesn't fumble. He's tough. He can catch the ball. He's a good back, you know, and he might be a better back than some of the guys the Niners have. So I'd be interested in him. And then you said it. I think the guy that I would have the most interest in, you know, they drafted Oluwafemi Oladejo when they were a 3-4 team. He was a linebacker at Cal. They moved him to defensive end or to outside linebacker. You know, in some schemes he can play, you know, an edge, but they also have Keldrick Falk, Jalen Harrell, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Jacob Martin. They got a bunch of guys here, and he was drafted by Borgonzi, but I don't know that he fits Saleh's defense as an every down 4-3 defensive end, but I think he would fit the 49ers kind of plan of like have that you know, that spinner player who's a linebacker, but he's really, I think he'd be like an ideal player in some ways for the 49ers. So it would take something. You'd have to give, he was a second round pick, I believe. You'd have to give, you know, a player, but maybe there's a player that Robert Saleh likes, you know, maybe there's a player that, you know, Robert Saleh really likes that he would take a pick and that player for Oladejo. Cause I just get the feeling Oladejo is just going to be one of many guys in their rotation, and he's not quite a scheme fit, but I think he'd be an awesome scheme fit for Raheem. And I could see that. I could see the 49ers saying, here's a day three pick and, you know, fill in player X that Robert Saleh likes, Tatum Bethune or something. I don't know. We'd have to see who Robert Saleh likes. Maybe he doesn't like anybody, but that's the guy that I think would be a fantastic get if you could get him. All right. That is going to do it for us. I think we have two more. We got this one. Oh, do we get this one?
We got that one. Thank you again, Michael.
What about going to Arizona game, John?
Oh, that's a flex schedule, so it's hard to rent venues for hypothetical days and all that stuff. That's at week 18, but it's a possibility. But again, the NFL doesn't announce till 10 days before, so again, hard to plan that one out. And Blood Moon, thank you so much. My daughter Q-Bone says, go Niners, bring the ring. Look how cool that is, man.
Look at that. We got this one too. Great show, guys. We talk and hear a lot about the 49ers injuries thus far in camp. How does their injury list compare across the league? More or less average. Have a great night. Well, as far as numbers, it may be up there with some of the most numbers as far as guys listed. But if you really look at it, I mean, let's talk about the crushing injuries. Ricky Pearsall, done for the year. Mikal Kamara, you know, torn ACL, done for the year. Everybody else is just like pretty much there, right? They're going to be back. So there are teams that have lost significant players. Right?
Detroit, Panthers, Colts. Yeah. Several more teams.
Yeah. So anyway, and last one of the night, this one from I am become Death Destroyer of Words. 2 jewels. Equals 100. All right, John, great stuff. Go Niners. You can be watching the game tomorrow night at home.
I'll be out there at the stadium.
Oh, you're going.
Yeah, last minute edition. I'll be out there having a good time, taking notes, having a good time.
Well, go say hi to the faithful. You can do any tailgating in the lawn?
No tailgating on this one. I'm checking out a tailgate spot for the regular season. But yeah, we'll be, if you see us, say hi. I'll be walking around with a beer in my hand at some point.
There you go. Reconnaissance on sites. John's done an incredible job. Have a great night, everybody. If you see me tomorrow at the stadium, come over and say hi to everybody. Thanks. Thanks to our sponsors. Have a great night. And yeah, never met a man I've been scared of.